What is going on, everybody? This is Party Card Sports back again. I'm feeling a little mad.
Feeling a little mad.
Yeah, you don't feel that madness all around you? It's March Madness, baby.
Honestly, what kind of sucks for me is that with everything kind of going on in free agency and the NFL, then things going on like outside the podcast, I am completely fucking spaced on March Madness opening up this weekend.
Well, after opening weekend, well, we're not all the way through opening weekend yet, but so far...
Your brackets might as well be busted. Might as well all be thrown away.
There are a total of 11 brackets left, and there's still like 6 or 7 games left tonight.
Yeah, and I bet most of those 11 brackets probably have the upset Charleston over Alabama. I think Charleston over Alabama is a pretty... good upset to pick if you're going to have one, because Alabama's defense is absolutely horrendous and Charleston likes to score a lot of points.
I got one better.
No.
Always go for the meme.
Stop.
Always go for a meme. Last 3 years, all things having to do with
sexual innuendos.
Sexual innuendos have upset in the first round. And this year it's going to be Longwood.
Whether it be a 16 versus 1 or 15 versus 2, yeah.
And this year it's going to be Longwood versus Houston. Houston's going down first round.
If that happens, that would be absolutely fucking bonkers.
I'm just telling you right now. Longwood is going to be taking Houston down, not Houston taking that Longwood down. You know what I'm saying?
Jaw Phil. But let's go ahead and just kind of talk about day one Thursday.
Disgusting.
Absolutely fucking crazy.
Absolutely horrendous on my part.
I mean, we'll go ahead and like, so we're KU fans. We should kind of already preface that from last season.
Absolutely.
And we didn't have high hopes for KU going into this tournament.
Absolutely zero.
If you're a KU fan, like, you know, yeah, we might get a game, maybe 2 games.
Listen. I thought that would be correct. Let's preference that. If you're a KU fan and you're not completely blinders on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
Then you realize that this team, compared to other teams, ain't it.
Like, the starting five, they're good. But that's it. I mean, they have no depth. Like, we were talking about it. They had 4 guys play over 30 minutes. In the game last night against Samford. And then their fifth man was split between 2 guys.
Yeah.
So it was like, fuck. I mean, their best player is, well, I guess you say one of their best players are out. So he's not going to be available. They, at one point, were up 20 points on Samford. And then here they come roaring back in the last couple of minutes. And it's a 4-point game for the longest time. Luckily enough, you talk about blinders. Those refs missed some calls that,
yeah.
Everybody could have went easily the other way and could have changed the game.
If there was replay in NCAA, then it might have been an upset. I mean, obviously, you still have to go down, make the basket, come back down, whatever, and defend. Or if you get the last second, you have to make the buzzer beater, whatever. But if there was replay, Samford's getting the ball back up down by 1 with 17 seconds left.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of time to win.
So, I think you and I can both agree that the chances of KU getting past Gonzaga on Saturday, pretty slim. I mean, Gonzaga played really good in their first round matchup, just absolutely handling McNeese State 86-65.
Bro, I picked McNeese because
What led you down that?
They have, because
nothing would have told me to pick that team.
From all
it's the fucking Gonzaga.
I got you.
It's a basketball school. They don't fucks around when it comes to March.
From all the reports and stuff that analysts and all this Gordon Palm type stuff, McNeese was built to be an upset team. And they had, and from all what these analysts that do this for a living 24/7.
That's why we're better.
We're saying that McNeese also has one of the best players in college basketball on their team. And
I don't think he showed up.
They got torched by 21. Because I picked that one, and I was like, okay, of course. The 1-12 seed that didn't win, of course, was the one I picked.
Did all the 12 seeds win so far?
I don't think so, but I was being dramatic.
Oh, okay. Now I'm looking. No, okay,
James Madison still has to play.
UAB lost.
Yeah. UAB lost.
Not by much. That would have been an upset I would have
picked. I picked UAB too.
Yeah, because UAB coming off their tournament victory, winning their conference tournament. Yeah, coming in hot. I would have picked them. I mean, San Diego State's a good ball team, and they play really good defense, but they don't shoot the ball very well. And if UAB probably gets a couple more to fall, I think they definitely could beat San Diego State.
Isn't there always a 15 seed that upsets?
Dude, lately it's been like every year there's like a 15 or a 16, but I don't think there was a 15 so far this year, no.
Anyway.
And there's only one 16 match. Two 16s left. Grambling State is going against Purdue as we are recording right now. And then, like you said, Longwood versus Houston.
Let's go, Longwood.
All the 15s have played, and I believe they all lost. Yeah.
So I was doing a lot of my picks and stuff off of that Gordon Palm stat record and stuff, like efficiency, tempo and efficiency, and then like top 20 defense. It's all wrong. I think that's bullcrap.
I would have not, like, tempo to me. And it's important.
Tempo to offensive efficiency, though. So if you're really efficient, but also your tempo is high, you're going to score more points, obviously.
Okay. So, no, I don't like that. I don't like having tempo having to do with, you know, who you play, because your tempo is going to change from game to game, or should change from game to game. Because you don't want to get in a shootout with another team that you don't like to fucking just shoot the ball.
We'll see.
I don't know. I don't like that.
Literally, I'll say one thing about the Gonzaga-Kansas game. It might literally be like 100 to 90 or something, because KU
can't
get in foul trouble.
Nope.
At all.
They don't have depth. They can't go to the bench.
But KU still scores a lot of points, and so does Gonzaga.
Yeah.
So it's going to be ridiculously high scoring game.
It's going to be the Colorado Florida matchup that happened this afternoon. Yeah.
The
102-100.
Yeah.
I wish I would watch that game. I just could not get myself up out of bed for my nap.
I would give it a, and this is a very optimistic 2.5% chance that KU wins.
2.5, hey.
2.5.
They'll take that extra half. So, Charleston and Alabama are tied 4 minutes in.
Yeah. Talking into existence.
I got money on the game. I got a little bit of skin there. I want that to happen.
Yeah, and I tried to talk Western Kentucky into beating Marquette. That didn't happen either.
Hey, Grambling is sticking around as we're recording. They're only down four.
So, let's talk about upsets, right? Because there's been actually quite a few big upsets. Which one's the biggest upset so far?
I was going to save that one for last.
Oh. What do you want to bring up next then?
Well, I mean, you want to talk about all the upsets. I mean, depending on what you want to call upset. I mean, Oregon versus South Carolina, I think was kind of, I want to say it was a given, but it's definitely a good matchup because Oregon, you know, you talk about tempo. You talk about a team that just runs the court. Now, their offensive efficiency, not there. But they run the court. They run very well.
Vegas was on Oregon.
Yeah,
it was pretty easy to go ahead and pick on them. I was going to actually ask you what you thought the biggest upset was. Was it actually the Yale beating Auburn today, or
that's a good one?
Was it Oakland taking down Kentucky?
Oh, it's definitely Oakland taking down Kentucky.
Because either way, they both screwed my bracket. Gone. my two finalists, Auburn and Kentucky. I don't think this has ever happened to me in my entire life. Both my finalists gone in the first round.
Let's go ahead and trash it. Trash the bracket.
It is. It's gone. It no longer exists.
Yeah, I would definitely say Oakland beating Kentucky is a bigger upset, mostly because I think Yale has a better chance of going deeper. I don't know who Yale's next matchup is going to be. Let's see. Do they have a postage yet?
They have to play San Diego State.
Oh, that's gonna be okay. That's not gonna be a bad matchup. Oakland's got to play North Carolina State. Dang, both of those really aren't bad matchups. I think Yale has a better matchup though. I think NC State plays a little bit stronger defense than Kentucky because Kentucky's defense efficiency was absolutely horrendous and shitty, which is why Oakland was able to. Well, not Oakland. Which is why. Was it Jake?
Jack
Golick fucking goes Jack off. Golick. for 32 points, 10 three-pointers, and then wherever his two-point shot came from. Yeah. Probably just inside. His foot was on the line.
His stats were ridiculous. We were talking about this just right beforehand, but I saw a stat that said all year he took 335 field goal attempts, and only 8 of those 335 were from two-point range. Hey, so that means he took 327 three-pointers this year.
Dude just fucking launched up the... And I didn't watch this game live. I get to work, and I'm watching the highlights. And every highlight is this guy just coming off a screen, not even setting his feet, catching the ball, throwing it up, and it just going in. Basically, like, every time I see that play where someone's coming off a screen to shoot a three-ball like that, especially, you know, basically jumping and still moving laterally as they're shooting the ball, just takes me back to that Mario Chalmers play from the early 2000s. Like, God, that was so long ago.
But it happened.
That same thing.
10 times in this game.
Yeah. I mean, this guy just coming off screen, just, I mean, he's not walking around these screens. He's zooming. Catches the ball. And just flying through the air sideways, throws it up, fucking Drano.
The next stat I heard was even the even more ridiculous, and it backs up Nate's point that, like, this guy was really just catch shoot. Is he only took 4 dribbles the entire game? The entire game, he dribbled the ball 4 times.
So yeah, he played 36 minutes, 32 points.
36 minutes, he scored 32 points and dribbled the ball 4 times. In 36 minutes.
That's fucking insane.
Let's do the math on that. There's 4 dribbles divided by 36. That is 0.1 dribble per minute you play.
That is...
Dribble. Like, just boom, boom. That's it. Up, down. Not 0.1 per minute.
I would have thought, let's see, 4, 8, 12... 15, 16 assists for Oakland. And, you know,
10 of them. 10 of them were three-pointers.
Because I think all 10 of them were off assist. He might have had one that wasn't an assist.
He shot,
but I believe most of his makes came off the pick.
He shot 20. So he was 10 for 20.
That's not bad.
From three-point range, 50% is really good.
But this guy goes from, he's a 6-year senior.
Wait. You telling me this story before the pod, he made this whole story even more ridiculous. I didn't know the guy was a senior citizen. go ahead and explain.
He's a 6th-year senior. This is his first year in D1 ball. He played his first 5 years in Division 2 at Hillsdale College in Michigan.
Fucking
where?
Ridiculous.
Who?
I don't know.
And this guy goes from 6-year senior, 5 years in Division II, now March Madness legend for beating Kentucky, essentially by himself, lobbing up 3 balls.
Yeah,
fucking nuts.
I thought this guy really did look familiar because he does look like a 40-year-old accountant.
He doesn't look that old. Looks younger than I do.
Bro, this dude... It literally looked like that one dude that you'd see hooping on like your local Y, just throwing some shit up, and he was hitting. That's all.
Make it rain.
Kentucky must have been so dumbfounded.
Dude, I would have been so pissed. I would have been like, who the fuck is this guy?
He wasn't on the notes.
Just like, he's not even looking at the basket. He's just throwing it at the wall, at the fucking goal.
Do you think he had a meeting with his team right before the game, and he goes, listen, guys, this is like my last run at it.
I'm throwing up every shot.
I'm literally gonna go for broke. And he won.
I go back and I just look at some, they are just terrible. He just doesn't even look coordinated. He just throws it up there. Dude, power to him.
There was a couple times where I was like, I think he also got fouled. I think he made that and also got fouled, but they didn't call fouls on those three-point attempts. But I'm like, I don't know, because he's coming off that screen so hard.
Yeah, right.
That, and he's falling away so hard that trying to guard him almost looks like a foul every time.
Yeah. Just some of them as a coach of fundamentals. Now, granted, I, you know, not a big basketball person, nor do I really have the aspects of coaching basketball. But I look at that and I'm just like, that is not a high percentage shot. What the fuck are you doing?
That is an extremely low percentage shot.
Turns out 50%.
Yeah, I bet for him.
For one game.
You don't see that. You don't see the instantly off screen fadeaway side jump three pointer making it all the time.
Yeah. Hey, when it's your night, it's your night. You can't beat luck.
Usually you get one of those in a game.
And it's usually at the buzzer.
And he made 10.
Fucking insane.
It's that was ridiculous.
So, yeah, if you're going to ask me what the biggest upset was, yeah, it's Oakland over Kentucky.
Biggest story has to be.
Yeah, I think so.
Other than there was quite a big story in the Dayton game as well. Dayton versus Nevada. Nevada led by 17 points with 16 minutes left, and Dayton on a 24-4 run comes back and wins the game.
That's fucking nuts.
This is back when my bracket still had hope. So I was really excited because I picked Dayton. I'm like, yeah, let's go. I got this. My bracket's still good. And then later on that night. No. But it was, I honestly have never seen a team implode so badly that in the last 16 minutes they score 4 points and lose a game.
Yeah, that's kind of ugly.
Dude, it was ugly to watch. Like, they would put up shots, they would like roll around the rim, fall. They finally scored a point. Like, they finally it was a 17-2 run for a long time. They finally scored a point when they got to 20. And they finally made a layup, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, they're going to reel it back in. They're going to end up winning the game." Nope. Absolutely not. Gave up 4 more points. Game was over.
I'd probably say another game that had a storyline to it is the Northwestern versus Florida Atlantic. I mean, Florida Atlantic is returning all 6-7 of their starters from last year. Weren't they an Elite Eight or Final Four team last year? One and done against Northwestern this year.
Yeah, and they overtime. Had a chance to win. It was tied 60. I don't have it pulled up right now, but it was tied going into overtime. And they shit the bed.
Yeah, they only scored 7 points in overtime.
Yeah, they got outscored by 12.
Yeah, that is just freaking insane.
When they had a chance to shoot to win the game. So obviously Northwestern goes down. They make the driving layup. Good for them. I'm thinking, there's still 15 seconds left. No big deal.
That's a lot of ball game.
That's a lot of ball game. This is college basketball. That's an eternity. So this dude's dribbling down the court, and he kind of stops. At the corner, I'm like, okay, he's just kind of going to run down like 5-6 seconds. Then he's going to get, you know, his move, make his move, and take the shot. This dude waits for a solid like 8 seconds till there's like no time. He has to make a hurry up move. Jumps into two guys. Puts up the worst shot, gets blocked. I'm like, what the hell was he doing?
Trying to draw a foul.
It was terrible, dude. It was ridiculously bad what FAU just did.
I mean, what I really hate about this tournament in particular is that the Big 12 is really shit to bed. I mean, we can assume.
Well, kinda.
I mean, surprisingly, Kansas still in. Texas, you know, they looked good, but they got to face a really strong Tennessee team in the next
Texas
round.
Texas looked aight.
They looked pretty good.
They looked aight. They didn't score much.
They don't ever score much. They play defense.
I know. They looked aight.
Iowa State looks fucking good. Iowa State looks wicked awesome.
Well, it's Iowa State. So they won the Big 12.
And then Houston's looking fucking fantastic.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, won't we?
Dude, stop. Houston is arguably, to me, one of the best teams in the country, if not the best team in the country. They don't score a shit ton of points, but they play defense, they run the court, and they score enough points. Enough points, whatever.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, the Big 12 has just not looked good in this tournament. Texas Tech.
You know they never were going to get that far. Texas Tech.
Still, I mean, you're a Big 12 team, damn it. You got to make it out of the round of 64. Please, God.
You knew Texas Tech was never going to make it.
You got to get out of there.
You still have a chance tonight to have some sort of upset. You can get TCU in.
TCU's not upset. I mean, you talked about Vegas earlier. Vegas is on TCU.
Yeah. Well, I don't see them winning it. But TCU
plays well.
But guess what? Every time I've said that, their team was Baylor won. Baylor destroyed Colgate.
That was a two. That was a three seed. Yeah. But I'm talking about all these other mid-tier seeds that are shit the bed and not looking good.
Dude, the thing is...
Was it last year or the year before the Big 12 put... I think it was last year the Big 12 put in 10 of... Or no, like 7 of the 10 teams because we didn't have all the new teams yet.
Yeah, well, I get what you're saying. And that's... I guess you're right because I didn't even think about it, but BYU... is now in the Big 12, which I kind of didn't even think about, right? BYU's in the Big 12, though, right?
Are they?
I'm pretty sure, right?
I have no idea. If it is, it's just for basketball, because I sure as fuck know they're not in football.
Am I having a brain fart, or are you having a brain fart?
I'm pretty sure
KU played BYU
in
football, too.
I don't recall BYU being in the Big 12.
My computer's doing so I have to do this on the... But anyway, yeah. The Big 12 this year was a little bit different. Like, the good teams were good, and mid teams were just kind of...
There was really no mid teams. I mean, it was just your blue blood, your blue chips, and then everyone else.
KU was the most middest team.
For being as good as they should be, sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
BYU's in the Big 12. In the Big 12 of football, too. BYU losing sucks.
Man, see, that just makes me feel even worse about this tournament. Thanks, dude.
No problem.
Yeah, the Big 12 just have, in my opinion as a Big 12 fan, they've shit the bed. Garbage cans.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm pretty sure the SEC has done just as bad.
Good. And as soon as Alabama loses to Charleston, I'll feel much, much better.
And Tennessee could still lose in the second round of Texas. So that'd make you feel even better. But,
I mean, then Texas is going to the SEC anyway. So it's like, So your bracket's already screwed up. Okay?
Oh, it's gone. Both finals are done.
So can our followers, our fans on X and TikTok expect you to put out a Sweet 16 and on bracket?
I mean, I already did that. That's a shitty.
Oh, dude, you're. It's like, you know what? I haven't looked.
Tweeted out my Sweet 16 predictions and
post all your fuck ups.
No. So I just put my bracket like going all the way down on tweets, and so like, oh, this is my. Well, I guess I can go like, okay, after these first two rounds, now that everybody's eliminated, here's what I predict is going to happen.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah. And then I should tell the fans, guess what? I got this many wrong in the first two rounds, so you should probably fade everything I'm saying.
Yeah. Do not follow Cody's bracket for pick'ems if you're in a Survivor Series or Eliminator, whatever they want to call it. Yeah. You did not do good.
But. Which is weird because I was just going off of what analysts
were saying. Damn it, Alabama's coming back. Fuck. No. All right. That pretty much, for me, kind of concludes March Madness thus far.
We're only half a round and, like, what, 5 or 6 games today through. So we're not even through everything. So
yeah, we're on the second half of the games.
Exactly. So we can't, like, comment on what happens later tonight. But I'm sure, seeing this tournament so far, there's been a ton of upsets. So I'm sure that's going to continue tonight.
But foosball. Surprisingly, not really surprising because everything freaking happened, you know, week one of free agency, just players flying off the shelf, left, right, big money being spent. So it's not surprising that the second week, much slower, but we'll go ahead and start off with the hot topic. Justin Fields, you know, Chicago Bears, they go ahead and deal him. He's gone. They get a 6th round pick. Let's see. Traded to Pittsburgh from Chicago for a 6th round pick. It changes to a 4th round pick if Fields plays 51% of the snaps. Which, that kind of gets into a weird debate for me because obviously the Steelers have Russell Wilson. So you've got two quarterbacks. one on the back end of his career, one still relatively young that needs a mentor. I think this is good for Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields wins this trade. I think the Bears, you know, whatever, ho-hum.
I think Russell Wilson walks up to Mike Tomlin and goes, "You tell Art Rooney that Justin Fields is my best friend, and it's shaking bank time."
Oh, my goodness. But I see this working out for Justin. I don't think Justin Fields will play 51% of the snaps. I think if that happens, either one, Russell Wilson got hurt, or two, Russell Wilson playing like shit.
Here's my prediction. And it's been kind of backed up a little bit by rumors. I feel like if Russell Wilson comes out during training camp and preseason and is playing terrible, they're just going to make the switch. Because Russell Wilson's on a vet minimum.
Yeah, $1.2
million. So it'd be so easy to just be like, you're benched.
Yeah, I can see that.
It'd be, and especially when all their money just went into Justin Fields. So honestly, if I had to tell you whose ceiling's higher, Justin Fields' ceiling is tremendously high.
Duh.
But I also don't know who he's really going to be throwing to, because didn't they get rid of?
Yeah.
Who'd they get rid of?
Dante Johnson.
Yeah. And yeah, they just have Pickens left.
Yeah. Pickens and I think Freiermuth is still there.
Okay. But I mean, it's like you're putting him back in the same situation he was in Chicago before DJ Moore got there. It's like,
that's true.
Hey.
Yeah.
Take this mid wide receiver and make him good.
But the Steelers have a slightly better offensive line.
And a better
run game.
That is true.
If Najee Harris can ever pull his head out of his ass.
That's to be determined on Najee Harris. I don't like Najee Harris at all.
It's just his rookie year was so good.
No.
Just fantastic.
I don't think his efficiency was ever that good his rookie year. I just think they used him 40 times a game.
Hey, dude. Ball don't lie, man.
But if I was the Steelers, I'd go out, find a wide receiver, bring him in. He doesn't have to be expensive or anything. Or draft a wide receiver, too. I mean, that's some rumors, too.
I think right now there's good wide receivers left on the board. And I was on the phone with the old man this afternoon. So I kind of want to get in specifically two wide receivers later towards the end of the podcast. But okay. I do want to cover a few more things before we get into that. Let's see. Man, there was another notable one. Tyron Smith, yeah. You talk about the Jets just continuing to make moves. They signed Tyron Smith and Mike Williams this past week. So
the Mike Williams one's good.
The Tyron Smith one's good for him because they're left. And, dude, Tyron Smith didn't get shit.
Here's the
$6.5 million.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's a lot of incentives on that, too, depending on how many games he plays, everything like that. And I was like, I mean, I personally probably would have done the incentive contract with Tyron Smith, but also I feel like the Cowboys were ready to move on finally because Tyron Smith has literally played 10 games a season for the last three seasons. I like the guy. Future Hall of Fame left tackle. Probably still, when healthy, is the best left tackle in football, but he just doesn't stay healthy no more. So good deal for the Jets. They can have a insurance policy, I guess.
Gonna need an insurance policy.
Yeah. And so good deal for them. Tyron Smith, hopefully, if at least my team don't win, maybe one of my former Cowboys buddies could win.
Just like Dallas Cowboys fans. Always trying to find a reason to root for another team. Hey, he used to be a Cowboy. Fuck yeah.
I'll tell you this right now.
A victory for them is a victory for me.
If Dak Prescott gets traded away or leaves in free agency, I will probably be a dual fan at that point of somewhere else.
Really?
This is the first time I've ever said this.
Ew.
But if Dak Prescott leaves, I'll be a dual fan because I will guarantee you right now.
That's a Cody guarantee.
That if he goes somewhere else, because of how shitty Cowboys and Cowboys fans' luck is, he will win a fucking Super Bowl. And I will not allow myself to ever root against that or be mad at him for doing it because I said he was good enough to do it.
So while we're on the topic of Cowboys and Dak Prescott, you know, he converted $5 million from his roster bonus, so it opens up $4 million to the cap. So they could go out and get, you know, probably another cheap wide receiver. Maybe
we could sign another long snapper.
Could sign another long snapper, or, you know, an old washed up linebacker.
Hey, don't talk about Eric Kendrick like that. He played well last year.
But I mean, you call it. Leighton Van Der Esch gets released and then pretty much immediately retired. Yeah. I mean, he officially retired, but
that's sad.
So, hey, what, when you know something, Cody. You got that one right.
So he's so good too, but neck injuries just screwed him.
Yeah, and a neck is so freaking tough when you're playing football. If you can't keep your neck healthy, and especially when you're a linebacker and you're just freaking pounding, pounding the hole,
pounding the hole.
It gets a little
sloppy when you pound the hole. Okay.
Hold on, last news on Cowboys. I mean,
Wait. Let's go back to the injury thing. You said it's like the big three: neck, back, knee. Other injuries you can fight back from. When it comes to neck, back, knee, I guess you could also throw a concussion.
Nah, dude, you can always come back from concussions. You can always come back from knees.
It's just sometimes you might be.
Defensive players, they come back from concussions all the time. That ain't no thing. Offensive players, wide receivers, and quarterbacks. Yeah, you get a concussion there. It's a little different. But from a defensive standpoint, concussions, no big deal.
Neck, back, knee.
Nah, knees are a normal thing.
You can come back from knee, but you're never 100. The only person that ever came back 100 was AP.
There's actually a lot of... So when I had my knee surgery, they were saying that... it was like at that time, that was almost... That's over 10 years ago.
It's over 10 years.
That's still... 11, 12 years, they were telling me like 60% of people that get knee surgery are actually better off than they were if they use cadavers.
You tell that to some of the players. You tell that to Michael Gallup right now.
I don't know. Did he get a cadaver or did they just reconnect it?
I'm sure that there was no money that wasn't expensed for his surgery.
Money is of no object.
Yeah, when you make millions and millions of dollars,
I'm just saying.
Well, what's the last news?
So, the Cowboys get their running back. We were talking about it last week. Who was going to be the Cowboys running back after Tony Pollard officially leaving and going to Tennessee? And at that point, Rico Dowdle was still a free agent. They do sign him 1 year, $1.22 million. So, cheap. As of now, I would say that he's probably RB1. And I thought he looked pretty good in the limited time that he played last season.
I don't mind him at all being the backup.
Well, he's RB1, so.
I know. I know. He is the RB1 on the roster of right now. I have a sneaking suspicion that we are going after a running back. You know what pisses me off? You know what really grinds my gears?
What?
I wanted Bijan so freaking bad. I was willing to trade up for him. I wanted all these things, man. I wanted to drop. I knew the Joneses wouldn't go do it. I knew they wouldn't because they're fucking bitches, man. And now, after waiting for years, they want to do Tony Pollard experiment. They want to do all this crap. The Deuce Vaughn experience. Whatever. Now they're going to get Jonathan Brooks, probably, out of Texas, when we could have had Bijan freaking Robinson out of Texas.
Yeah.
That pisses me off, man. We could have had probably the best running back for the next decade. And now we're probably going to get I don't even know, because he hasn't played an NFL game. So you never know if they're actually going to be good or not.
I mean, technically, we still don't know about Bijan.
No, I know. Everything I've seen, he passes the eyeball test and some.
We'll see. He's got Captain Kirk now, so.
Arthur Smith was the only reason that dude didn't absolutely blow up his first year as a rookie. When you only give a guy in some games two touches, when he's the best player on your team.
Yeah, when he's the best asset that you have.
Yeah, you're stupid.
So if you want, I'll make you feel better, Cody. I'll make you feel better. I know you're still irritated with the Cowboys offseason. At least you did not sign a third defensive tackle in free agency. as the Colts did. The Colts signed a third defensive tackle this past week.
Do you want me to make you feel even worse for me?
No, I'm tired of feeling sorry for Cowboys fans. You guys don't have
a starting defensive tackle on our team.
We got three. You want one?
Fuck yeah, I do.
We'll give you.
Which one's the fattest and the sturdiest one?
Grover Stewart.
I want that guy.
No, he's too young, and we just paid him. You can have DeForest Buckner.
I don't want DeForest Buckner.
He's old and busted, and he still plays good. He's still good.
My team's going to shambles in front of my face.
But
this feels like the 80s.
What are the chances that the Cowboys just completely crumble and just tank this year?
I mean, but what? Who? Okay. Then what are they going for?
Tank Town.
What? Yeah, but who? Who are they going for in the next draft? Who is there that they want in the next draft? There's no quarterback. There's no anything. Like, what are we looking at?
I'm sure there's going to be quarterbacks that show up. I wasn't even aware.
This year, for 2 years, they've been talking about Caleb Williams. Why wouldn't you have gone after him this year?
Because everyone still believed in Dak in the office, apparently.
I guess so.
All right, I'm done talking about Cowboys news. Chase Young, he finally goes off the board. 1 year, $13 million to the Saints.
See this.
Yep, to the Saints. That was a rumor.
They have no money. They have no money. Where are they getting this money from?
Hey, they make it work, okay? They did restructure somebody earlier last week. That opened up a shit ton of cap. I don't recall who. But, yeah, Chase Young goes to the Saints. The Saints are trying to make moves. I don't see them. Yeah. No. It's still going
to
be.
They're going to make all these moves and still not be anywhere close to winning that division.
No.
Because we got the Falcons that actually look good that have Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I think the Falcons are the best team.
And then you got Tampa still, right?
Tampa.
You see Tampa. They re-signed Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans, and their defense is still good.
Yep.
Yeah, you're looking at being the third best team. And I don't even remember who the third team is in that, or the fourth team is in that.
Carolina.
you're looking to be the third best. You can't get much worse than Carolina.
I think it's Carolina. Don't quote me on that. That's just the first team.
I don't think it's Carolina, but maybe it is. Who cares? Carolina is such an insignificant worm that we don't even have to talk about them. My team could lose and not sign a single person for the rest of the year. My team could also not draft at all and still beat Carolina.
It is Carolina. Yeah. Just making sure I was right.
I was just trying to make my point of how terrible I think they are.
Alexander Mattison replaces Josh Jacobs in Vegas. Obviously a downgrade. Mattison.
You think?
I think so. I mean, Josh Jacobs is still a good running back.
No. I was being sarcastic. Oh.
Hey, you know, I gotta say the facts, okay? I gotta have more words than just, hey, Alexander Mattison's here. You know, you gotta give context.
For what was left of the running back market, pretty good.
Wrong. They could have had Kareem Hunt in here.
I mean, I guess.
Who's a much better plug-and-play person for Josh Jacobs. There has to
be something with Kareem Hunt if no one has picked him up.
Let's see who else is available for running back.
There has to be something else.
Let's see.
I mean, there's A.J. Dillon. No, A.J. Dillon got re-signed by the Green Bay.
Yep.
Deontay Foreman is out there still.
Nope, he got signed by Cleveland this past week.
Jesus Christ.
Cleveland picked up Deontay Foreman, and
there's Dalvin Cook then. I guess there's Dalvin Cook still left.
God, the Browns picked up somebody else also this past week. It's a wide receiver. Jerry Jeudy. So the Browns make two big moves, get Jerry Jeudy on a 3-year, $58 million contract, and Deontay Foreman. Running back.
That's pretty good.
Let's see. Running backs.
There's getting someone to
back
up.
Yeah, I mean, as of now, running backs are pretty... Ugh.
Yeah, Madison was probably the last one left. I mean, Zeke, honestly, I'm going to tell you something right now. I still would rather have Zeke as my starting running back than Mattinson, than Foreman, than a lot of these other teams.
I think in a two-back system, sure. But as a premier back, I don't think so.
I would take him. I was taking him as my premier back before some of those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know who's left.
You were so high on Mattinson last year. Like, oh, he's gonna be good because, for Minnesota. He's really good. He's he's just as good as Dalvin Cook.
I never said he was just as good as Dalvin Cook. I said, oh, he's going to be good for fantasy. He's going to be fantastic. Go pick him up. All this other BS. Because when he did play as the starter when Cook was hurt, he always popped off. And then, of course, when he is the lead back, Tony Pollard effect, he just can't get it done.
Obviously. But I think, yeah. Basically, with
Cordell Patterson, you can go get Cordell.
No. That guy's a nice tool to have in your scheme, but to be a premier running back, he's just a little too gimmicky.
The only person I would take a shot on that I could still say, okay, maybe they can still handle a lead back is Cam Akers, because he's 24.
Yep.
And J.K. Dobbins, because he's 25.
Dude, I brought up J.K. Dobbins last week, and you were all like, oh, he's had the injury problems and blah, 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 blah.
Well, at that point, I still had options. I don't have any options anymore.
Well, I mean, yeah, you right now. You right.
My boy Marlon Mack's still out there, though.
I was waiting for that one, dude. Fuck Marlon Mack, dude. What a fucking bum.
God, I can't believe Marlon Mack was wasted
a pick good on that bum.
For like, 2 years?
Dude,
he was so good for like 2 years.
Like, no, his rookie year was good, and then after that, absolute garbage can. Like, he just fucking doo-doo. So then we went and got JT.
I know there's a lot of people probably out there going like, I can't believe you don't even take a chance on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Remember, I live in Kansas. I saw that garbage can with 20/20 vision every weekend. He's not good.
No, he's absolutely atrocious. But, yeah, I mean, not a lot of news. I mean, we pretty much covered all the big ones. I mean, Paris Campbell got signed to the Eagles, so they kind of bolstered their wide receiving core just a little bit. But I definitely say that the Browns made the biggest moves this week, getting Jerry Jeudy and Deontay Foreman.
Sure. I agree. Well, they already had Jerry Jeudy, but they extending his contract.
It was an extension?
Because they traded for him.
Oh, that's what I thought. When I saw that, I was like, I thought they traded for him.
Yeah, they traded for him and then extended him, which is still positive because they'll have him for multiple years.
Yep.
But then also picking up Deontay Foreman is good for backup when it comes to Chubb. Deontay Foreman's a good second guy.
I think so, yeah. I mean, he's a guy that can handle the workload, and the way that him and Chubb run the ball, you don't have to change your scheme.
It could be just like another Chubb and Foreman like thing. It could be like the exact same scheming.
Yeah, yeah, they don't have to change much. So, like I said, I wanted to talk a little bit about where a lot of teams can go. Like we were talking about running backs. Like running backs are kind of, you know, really thin right now for most teams.
We're talking about free agencies?
Yeah, free agency. Yeah. Okay. So, like, running backs, there's nothing there. But for teams that need a wide receiver, there are still very viable options at wide receiver.
So many.
And Kansas City Chiefs fan, go ahead and listen up or write me out. This is your time in the spotlight on the show, as much as I fucking hate talking about your team. Here you go. I was on the phone with the old man, and he was talking about, you know, the Chiefs really need to sign another wide receiver, a veteran wide receiver. And it's something that we've talked about on the show, you know, week in, week out since Super Bowl. And they signed Hollywood Brown, but to me,
that's just a home run hitter.
I think so. He's a guy that still struggles with drops. He's still, he's a guy that can take the top off of defense, but they need a guy, in my opinion, the Chiefs still need a wide receiver that isn't Kelsey.
Hollywood also gets injured a lot.
Does he?
A lot.
I know he's been injured.
He was never healthy in Baltimore.
No one's ever healthy in Baltimore.
There you go. So, yeah. So where are you going with this?
Where am I going with that? So I'm on the phone with the old man, and he keeps bringing up Hunter Renfrow. And
I like that.
Here's why I don't like that. His last year was actually not good.
No, it wasn't.
And to me, Hunter Renfrow, yeah, he runs good routes, but he's still a guy that is made to play more in the slot, not out by himself.
100%. No, Hunter Renfrow is a slot guy.
They need a true guy that can line up as the one by himself and not in the slot.
I would agree with that.
And so off the top of my head, I couldn't think of any really good names other than Michael Thomas still available, but he's going to be expensive. The Chiefs still don't have a shit ton of money. Anyway. But he can still line up at the one and take on a lot of good corners. And then I completely forgot about this guy. He's a little older. But I like him at the number one slot. He's not a true number one at all, but I still like Tyler Boyd. He's a guy that runs good routes. He's got 4.5 speed, so he's not super slow, so they can't just man up and press him all the time. 6'2", and only had 5 drops last year. Guy catch the ball. I just had it pulled up.
Doop-a-doo. What are you looking for?
I had it pulled up for his targets and receptions last year. There it is.
I was going to say, I don't know.
So, yeah, he had 91 targets, 67 receptions, and only 3 drops. On 67 receptions, you get 3 drops. That's pretty good efficiency.
I'm kind of surprised he hasn't been signed because he was, even though he was third best wide receiver on his team, like
he's third to T. Higgins and Jamar Chase.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a little different. So I actually figured he would have been signed by now. I'm surprised he's not.
Like I said, at 6'2", he's taller than what they have, in my opinion. He's 4.5 speed, so he's not going to be that guy that stretches the field, but he's a big target for Patrick Mahomes on the edge. And I would still be excited if the Colts went and got him, because I still think that we need a wide receiver, because I think Alec Pierce just needs a little bit more time. I think this could be a viable option for the Cowboys also at getting a wide receiver to add more depth that isn't going to cost a lot of money.
Yuck.
You don't like Tyler Boyd?
I still like anybody the Cowboys want to sign.
That's true.
If you want to talk about someone that has a lot of upside, but he's not young anymore either, they could always go Michael Gallup.
That's true.
He's one of the best sideline catchers I've seen in a long time. And the only reason he's not in the Cowboys anymore is because he had knee problems and he's getting paid way too much.
Knee problem. Everyone's got knee problems, dang it.
Everybody knows the best year off an ACL tear is the second year.
Another guy, I think he's going to cost too much for the Chiefs, but 6'4", and he still has that speed. A little less efficient than Tyler Boyd, and that's DJ Chark. 4.3 speed, 6'4", had 5 drops on 35 receptions last year. Mm-hmm. This guy fits. I'm surprised the Chiefs didn't go this route over Hollywood Brown, because I just don't understand. I think DJ Chark's a better wide receiver overall. He's not quite as fast, but still has the speed. I think he's a little bit taller, has a little bit bigger wingspan, and just more efficient.
I feel like he'd be cheap. He's already bounced around the league a lot.
He wouldn't be it. I think Marquise Brown would probably be a little cheaper than DJ Chark, I think. I'm not 100% sure. It just depends. They probably bring in right around the same money, really.
Nah.
I think DJ Chark, if I had to pay one more, I would pay DJ Chark more than Hollywood Brown, in my opinion.
No.
But we talk about, those are the two guys that, for Chiefs fans, if you were looking at wide receivers, I think those are two guys that would fit in that scheme of being a big target guy. Not going to be take the top off of defense, because you have every one of your receivers that run 4.3 speed.
You're looking at guys that don't have dropping problems, right?
Yeah. They need guys that don't drop the damn ball.
Let's say if they're still looking for like a young guy with potential, Chase Claypool's out there too. But I think he also has a little bit of a case of the drops.
And he's got some off-the-field issues, doesn't he?
I don't think so. Not that I have heard of.
But that's what I wanted to talk about, just because I talked to the old man for a little bit.
You're telling me that Marquise Brown, you think that, who did you say?
Who?
That Tyler should Boyd? Be paid more money than Marquise Brown?
DJ Chark.
You think DJ Chark's making $7 million?
I think that's more than his last contract. Or less than his last contract.
Yeah, but he didn't play well last year. He's been injured.
Oh, I wish I had it up, but I can't go pull it up.
Yeah, it sucks when you don't have the stats up.
Hold on, DJ Chark. let's see. So, yeah, his last contract was 1 year on $5 million. What?
He gets four, maybe.
His last year, 2022, his 2022 contract was $10 million.
Yeah, he might get five now. Maybe 4 or 5. Maybe. Because I think he played like 6 games this year.
Let's take a look. DJ Chark. And 23 played. let's see, 23 for Carolina. Played 15, started 10.
There you go. There you go.
He played 15. So he played in 15 of the 17 games, started 10 of them.
How many of those games did he start and not finish?
And, I mean, this season was his second most snaps in his career.
What about the year before?
That was an injury year.
There it is.
Actually, no. Okay, that was probably an injury because he played 534. His 2021 year in Jacksonville, where he only played four games.
There it is.
So you talk about injuries. Marquise Brown's got injuries.
He does.
Okay, so what's the point? Yeah. What are we getting at here?
Everybody knows you can only have one wide receiver injured at a time. Everybody knows that's how football works.
I don't think so, Tim. I don't think so.
No. So I think it. There are, in my opinion, I'm not just saying for KC. In my opinion, there's only a handful of guys left in even wide receiver market that are worth even taking a shot on. I think your dad's 100% right, Hunter Renfrow.
I don't.
If you need a slot receiver, Hunter Renfrow is like Cole Beasley. He's really, really good. Or Wes Welker. I think Wes Welker.
That's what I compare.
I think Wes Welker is a little bit bigger and more physical, but Hunter Renfrow is a great route runner and can catch the ball. I wouldn't take a shot on like an OBJ type guy. He wasn't that efficient with the Ravens at all. I would still, like you said, Tyler Boyd for sure.
I still like Tyler Boyd.
I would still take a chance on Michael Thomas in a slot position. I wouldn't play him in a number one like you. But DJ Chark, I like DJ Chark. I would take a chance, but like you said, we said injury prone. But that's about it. Like, I mean, I like Michael Gallup. You can take him or leave him. I just didn't want to add him in because I'm a Cowboys fan, and that's bias.
Oh, now you don't want to be biased. Okay there, guy.
I'm trying to be better for the fans.
Guy, okay.
Trying to be better for the fans.
Dude, no, they love it when you're biased, because then they can just completely torch you.
Fucking roast.
What do you think about Sterling Shepard? Do you think that he can have a second coming after 30?
Old and busted.
You think he's too old and busted?
See you later. Have a good time.
What a guy.
What? Anybody else you want to name off that's old and busted?
No, that was kind of just the one name that kind of stood out.
The Chiefs could always bring back 30-year-old Byron Pringle. When I don't know how many conversations I had to hear with people saying, you know what? Actually, Byron Pringle is pretty good. He would be a starting wide receiver on any other team.
Dude, Byron Pringle's hot doo-doo garbage.
I don't know how many times I had to hear that from Chiefs fans. And then Byron Pringle leaves and never plays again.
So last thing, kind of wrapping up free agency, is who is available? Who overall? There are still some good names left on the board. Justin Simmons is the, and this is on PFF. Justin Simmons, how number one. How is
Justin Simmons not?
I think because there's a lot of teams that need a safety, but they just don't want to pay the market value for Justin Simmons. And I'm sitting here, Blackman was a safety that the Colts let go in free agency, and rumors have it that he's looking to sign with the 49ers. Like, the Colts have fucking money. Go get Justin Simmons. Because we didn't go get a fucking linebacker like I wanted, so let's go get Justin Simmons. Okay? Stephon Gilmore is their number two best available, which I agree, other than he's just old. It's kind of hard to commit to that, especially if you're going to play him in the role that he's meant to play. Like, Stephon Gilmore is a really good man corner, but he's lost a step, so you kind of have to play him in a zone more so. This one I don't agree with. Steven Nelson, cornerback from the Houston Texans, is still in free agency. Yeah, he's okay, but not a big fan. He kind of gave up some passes. Not really gonna.
Xavier Howard's still available.
See, I would have put Xavier Howard at you know, in the top five, but he's not even top five.
He's old. Jamal Adams is still available. He's older. Most of these guys now are older guys that are still good.
Connor Williams, I don't know how Connor Williams is still on the board.
I still am holding out
hope. Cowboys are trying to make some money.
I'm still holding out hope that maybe Connor Williams will come back to the Cowboys.
Jeez.
Just That's so then we don't have to draft. I don't know. I don't know what I should do. I'm so dumbfounded by everything my team does. Also, Stephon Gilmore's still not signed either.
I heard you said that.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, Stephon Gilmore's number two on this list of best available.
That's wild to me.
The top five best available on PFF is Justin Simmons, Stephon Gilmore, Steven Nelson, Connor Williams and fuck words.
Cameron Sutton is still available now too, Clowney. But he just threw his girlfriend out of a 3-story window.
Shouldn't have been talking back.
Damn.
Should have birthed the fucking chicken. God damn.
This is jokes. Nate's talking jokes. Maybe. I'm going down this list of people that are still available. Fletcher Cox, he's old. He's probably going to retire.
He needs to.
Old man
Calais Campbell needs to fucking retire.
I thought Micah Hyde got re-signed somewhere. He's old.
No, I think Justin Poyer did. Okay. I think Micah Hyde is on the edge of retirement, I believe.
Yeah, I'm keeping scoring on the line to look. I don't really see anybody that pops out to me anymore besides the names we named, but there are still a lot of people available that is ridiculous.
I mean, so I named off the top five. I mean, Howard's still available. There's still some good. Julian Blackman is still, as of now, available. But like I said, it looks like he's going to sign with the 49ers with some rumors that I heard today. Tyler Boyd's available. Adoree Jackson is a solid man corner. He's lost a small step, but he's still wicked fast and can cover enough of the field.
Connor McGovern still available.
Dionte Hardy. Yeah. Okay, no, I'm not putting him that high.
Carlos but Watkins. He's available. He's not bad.
Who?
Carlos Watkins.
Old man Kyle Van Noy. God dang, he's still playing. He's still available.
Shaq Leonard.
No. I mean, we already let him go.
Oh, you guys let him go?
We traded him.
In
season.
Yeah, to Philly.
Yeah.
And he's a free agent already? And he's just sitting there.
Yep, just hanging out. But anyways, that pretty much wraps it up for me, dude. March Madness is underway. Oh, let me check the score of that game.
Ryan Tannehill's still available.
He's not playing anywhere. I'm sorry. Tanny, it's time to hang it up, dude.
And Carson Wentz is also still available if the Colts need a backup.
Fuck Carson Wentz. I don't even know who our backup is right now. Oh, yeah, Joe Flacco.
You got Joe Flacco.
I forgot we got Joe Flacco. You're
talking about old quarterbacks. Dude. Joe Flacco's 40.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. let me check this game real quick. Come on. Come on, Charleston.
J.C. Jackson's available.
And Charleston's not going to win. Fuck!
No duh, Charleston's not going to win. Are you ridiculous?
It's almost halftime. They're down 34-51.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Fuck.
That was never going to happen.
I was hoping, man. I put some skin on it. I was seeing if I could come out on top.
But out of all the upsets you could have put money on, Bama was not going to lose.
Dude, Bama's defense sucks. And Charleston likes to score a lot of points, but apparently not fucking tonight.
Bama also has a really high scoring efficiency.
Yeah, so did Kentucky.
So did Auburn. Wasn't good enough. I guess that shows you how it is.
It is what it is.
We'll be back next week. Hopefully there's some more craziness goes on. We're getting closer to the draft. And March Madness still continues.
Yeah.